Today we have a very interesting passage from John chapter 8, the Lord's conflict with the Pharisees and the Lord's warning to the Pharisees that unless they repent and believe that He is the Son of God, they will die in their sins. Very powerful words. It's the one thing you don't want to do. You don't want to die in your sins. That's why we always pray that beautiful Fatima prayer, "Oh my Jesus, forgive us our sins, save us from the fires of hell, lead all souls to heaven, especially those most in need of your mercy." We don't want people to die in their sins, in mortal sin. So we have to pray for the conversion of poor sinners, pray that people will not die in their sins. That's why the last rites are so important, the anointing of the sick, confession, administering to the sick, hearing confessions, giving absolution. We don't want people to die in their sins. So the Lord warns them that unless they repent and believe, that they will certainly die in their sins. He says, if you do not believe that I am, you will die in your sins. The word I am, those words, are very important in Scripture. If you've read the Old Testament, the book of Exodus, when Moses said to God on the holy mountain, "Who are you?" What was God's response? What was God's name? He said, "I am who am." See, the expression I am is God's name. He is the great I am, the beginning, the end, the Alpha, the Omega. He is existence. He is the great I am. I remember hearing one, I think it was a Protestant minister, said, "This is how we know that God is from the north and not the deep south." If God was from the deep south, he would have said, "I is who I is." But he didn't say that. He said, "I am who am." Again and again, it's used in Scripture. Remember when Jesus was before the high priest and they said, "Tell us, are you the Christ, the Son of the living God?" And Jesus said, "I am." The great words, the great I am. And what did the high priest do? He tore his garments. He thought he had heard blasphemy. Because no one can use that expression except God. God is the only true I am. And so then they said to him, "Who are you?" Now, there was a very interesting talk that Pope Paul VI gave in 1974 at a general audience. He says, many people in our own day ask the same question to Jesus, "Who are you?" And then in a few sentences, Pope Paul VI, who I'm sure will one day be canonized, says, "Who then was Jesus? Our faith exalts and cries out, 'It is He, it is He, the Son of God made man. He is the Messiah we were expecting. He is the Savior of the world, the Master of our lives. He is the shepherd that guides men to their pastures in time, to their destinies beyond time. He is the joy of the world. He is the image of the invisible God. He is the way, the truth, and the life. He is the interior friend. He is the one who knows us even from afar. He knows our thoughts. He is the one who can forgive us, console, cure, even raise the dead. And He is the one who will return, the judge of one and all, in the fullness of His glory and our eternal happiness." In one of the most beautiful summaries of who Jesus is. And then the gospel concludes today, after they ask Him, "Who are you?" Jesus again reaffirms, "It was the Father who sent me." And then He says, "When I am lifted up, when the Son of Man is lifted up, then you will realize that I am." Again, He uses that expression. Then you will realize who He truly was. And of course, the great lifting up was the crucifixion, when He was lifted up on the cross. And that's when the centurion would say, "Truly, this man was the Son of God." And we have this great event of the lifting up. As Moses lifted up that bronze serpent in the desert, so Jesus lifted up on the cross, and those who gaze upon Him in faith would be cured.